Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, the Bulls appeared to be on the verge of scoring in transition last night. Then Jim Boylan called a timeout. Luka appeared to find this pretty funny. But Clinton, are the Bulls taking tanking to a whole new level here?
Give him the benefit of the doubt. It was after a made basket. Maybe he wanted to set up his stuff. Come on, who knows? That was pretty ugly.
Jim Boylan might just be a bad coach. What do you think, Ramona?
No, I think exactly what Clinton said. It was after a made basket and he just, look, Zach Levine's fast.
I think both things could be true. Potentially, it's possible. Welcome into the Jump. I'm George Sedano. In for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols. I'm joined by our insider, Ramona Shelburne, columnist for the undefeated Clinton Yates. Coming up, Spike Lee went on First Take this morning. Oh. You know that can't be good. He's going out there talking to Stephen A. and Max and Molly. And sounded off on the Knicks, who, of course, put out a PR statement in response. We'll take you through all the drama in the Big Apple. But first, the Miami Heat hosted the Bucks last night in a big Eastern Conference matchup. Not only did the Heat pull off the win, but they did so with dominant defense, holding Milwaukee to a season-low 89 points. With the win, Miami became the only team to beat the Bucks twice this season. Here's Jimmy Butler after the game.
Did you start, was this your best version today, the defensive side, you know, version of the Miami Heat?
Most definitely, I think so. But, you know, that's how we want to play all the time. Unfortunately, we do not do that. But tonight could be what we look like. I mean, that's a really good team over there, and they've been doing really great things all year long, both sides of the floor, home and away. So we take away from this that we can't compete at the highest level, but we know that we have to play this way every day here on out.
So, Ramona, how excited should Heat fans be after this win?
Oh, I think that was a big win. I think that was what you would call a statement win because, the Heat have kind of been scuffling a little bit lately, but they've been really good at home and they've been pretty good against the Bucks. And I think the way that they defended Giannis is a blueprint that a lot of coaches are going to be stealing from. Like, that game tape is going to be circulating around the league for the next couple of weeks because, one, I think you need Bam Adebayo to have a game the way he did against Giannis, but in order to play that kind of defense, but they did some things in the way they defended him that I think other teams can steal from. And if you're Mike Budenholzer, you've got to study that tape and develop some counters if you're going to see teams like this in the playoffs.
They also forced him to settle for jump shots. I mean, that was the main thing, and he took the bait, which is not something I think he's going to do all the time. You got to force other guys on the Bucks to try to score, and they did that. But overall, this was a great win. I mean, wire to wire, I don't think there was any point where I thought the Bucks were going to win this game. And that's something to me that says as much about what the Heat have done as anything. I mean, Kelly Olynyk going off, you know, that's something we've seen before, not something you expect to see every night. But it was the manner in which they won it in terms of controlling the game, not just defensively. Overall, they looked like a team that knew what they were doing and will not be scared if they face up against them in a playoff.
The Heat aren't scared. I think they believe if they can get to the last 5 minutes of the game, especially after these trades that they made, that they can be in a real fight with these guys night in and night out. And offensively, I think they feel they're very comfortable with where they're at. Yep. And defensively, they were wondering if this was going to be able to manifest itself into the type of performance we saw yesterday. And maybe, as Jimmy pointed out, it's something you see more often from them, but it hasn't been the case during the regular season. But here, look at this. I mean, Bam, you pointed it out, Ramona, 1 of 10, right? Giannis was shot 1 of 10 against him. But in some of these other clips we saw, Andre Iguodala guarding him a little bit, and then Goran Dragic would come and swipe at him, right?
Yep.
They showed him a lot of different looks, even when Bam was guarding him and when he wasn't guarding him.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that when you have a great defender like Bam, there's not many defenders like Bam Adebayo in this league
that can
take a guy like Giannis and go one-on-one against him. But they showed him a lot of different looks, and they did that thing. Usually what you do with Giannis is
build the wall.
You build a wall and just say, okay, go around. We're not letting you get through the paint. They didn't build the wall. They just kind of like showed the wall.
Right.
And so they would show it and then they would pull it back and it was, I don't want to say it was confusing, but what they did is exactly what we said. They dared him to settle for mid-range jumpers. And that's when you're Giannis and you're as good as you are in the paint, that is settling.
Yeah.
And he has proven this year that he can make those, but that's not what the Bucks want to be doing.
It was their best defensive execution. It was their best defensive game of the season for me from an execution and a scheme standpoint. Sometimes you don't put those two things together. Both of those happened last night, and that's what happened with the Bucks.
Yeah, for sure. And to your point, Ramona, it kind of was like the wall was like an accordion, right? It kind of expanded in and out occasionally depending on what was happening, because they did a nice job of getting out to the three-point shooters too.
Yeah.
In the first half, Milwaukee shot only 25% against them, and Giannis had only scored 6 points. So, they had done a good job, as you pointed out, Clinton, wire to wire against them. And this is what Pat Riley envisioned, right?
Yep.
When he made those deals, he felt like, you know what, this thing can be had. That the Bucks may have some holes, right? Particularly Giannis in his game offensively. And if we can kind of find a way to stay in these games against them, maybe we do sneak out of the Eastern Conference. I think the problem with that is everybody in the East seems to have their own kryptonite. Like, Miami can't seem to be Boston. Boston seems to have their number. Mm-hmm. Miami, at least in the regular season, seems to have Milwaukee's number. And it just kind of flips around like that, where there's not one team where I feel like it's completely dominant depending on the opponent.
Also, I mean, look, this is a one-night situation. They've played them twice over the span of a season. I don't know that the Bucks, when you get on them 2-3 games in a row, are going to have that kind of performance against the Heat in the same things. I'm not taking everything from the Heat.
Sure.
But they go into this series potentially in the playoffs knowing that they have at least one thing that can work, which is sometimes all you need in order to be able to get by.
I'm real curious to see what Milwaukee does with this, because they have another big game coming up this week.
Lakers
on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Lakers in Milwaukee. The Lakers, of course, were at the end of a road trip and maybe didn't give that everything. But the Lakers have a guy who can do a reasonable approximation of what Bam Adebayo did in Anthony Davis. Now, he's been a little banged up, but if the Lakers throw the same kind of defense at them, I think then we do say there is a blueprint.
Yeah, I could see Frank Vogel taking a page out of Eric Spoelstra's book and doing something there. All right. Let's check out who was in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. C.J. McCollum was in the zone last night, tying a season high with 41 points against the Magic. McCollum is averaging 33 points per game over his last six. And Portland's been without Dame in those particular games. The Trailblazers are 3.5 games out of the 8th spot in the West and getting healthier. So, Ramona, are we sleeping on the Blazers' chances here to make the playoffs?
I haven't been sleeping on that's the team that I've always thought that was going to sneak into that 8th spot. I know that everybody likes the Pelicans in there. That would be a great matchup for the league. That would be so many great storylines. But to me, with that veteran team, it's hard for me to count them out. It's hard, especially with Dame appearing to be close to coming back from that injury. If they can stay healthy, and they have a second easiest schedule down the stretch, it's hard for me to see them miss the playoffs.
Yeah, but between Nurk, Dame, and then Zach Collins, who to me is the most important player on this team from an injury standpoint, maybe only because when he went out early in the season, it was like, well, I'm not sure how far they can go because of him defensively and rebounding inside. He, to me, is as important as either one of those other two getting back in terms of how well they can operate on offense and on defense. I don't think that without him, they're going to be able to be a major playoff chance. And so I'm not sleeping on him. I'm just waiting for him to get healthy. You know,
I'm just going to say, Zach Collins is important. But
he's not Dame. Let's slow down a little bit.
I love you, though.
From a chemistry standpoint.
My point is that from a chemistry standpoint, they're not getting that far anyway if he doesn't get back. You know, sure, they might be a better team by a lot with Dame, but without Zach, I'm not counting them to go anywhere.
Yeah, and offensively, he helps them stretch the floor from that position. I get what you're saying when it comes to that, but I'm in on the Pelicans at this point. 538 has them as the team that's going to get into the 8th spot. I think that they're playing really well since Zion's been back. They went from in the games that he's played, they were the 23rd ranked defense. Now they're a top 10 defense since he's been back. We know what he does on the offensive end for them. So I just feel like the Pelicans are trending in the right direction, and there are a lot of questions about the Blazers with the health. It's if they get healthy, right? Like, to me, that's the thing.
Yeah, I would like to see the Pelicans in that 8th spot, right? I think
everybody. So would everybody in this league.
And all of the easiest schedule, the way they've played once Zion's been back. It's just, I have this faith in Dame Lillard just because I've seen the man's
work. The schedule is a big thing for me for the Pelicans. That team getting it back together with Zion coming the way he is, I think that helps them a lot. It's obvious, but I think it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, Dame can drag them there. There's no doubt. Coming up, Spike Lee says he's done going to Knicks games for the rest of this season. Is it smart for the Knicks to potentially isolate their most famous fan? Well, we'll discuss that. Stick around. But first, it's time for our distant replay from this date in 1999, featuring the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant.
Was bad even, but it goes to Harper. It bounces underneath to Kobe.
Ooh, hello.
A sensational shot.
Ooh, that's young Kobe.
That's pro Kobe, I was about to say.
Up and under.
Not a chance.
You notice that's a left-handed finish.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
The Jump is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day.
It's a make or miss lead.
It's a make or miss lead.
I don't know, man.
Make?
Miss. It's a make or miss lead.
Make. Acrobatics. Pacers Spurs. Lonnie Walker with the rock. Flies it for a huge tomahawk slam.
Ooh.
Clinton is Lonnie Skywalker. The perfect nickname for him.
It is a perfect nickname for this guy. This wasn't even the best play he made in this game, though, by the way. He had a steal at one point where he got it on the floor. Ended up dishing it over his head down the court. I mean, look, I love that dunk. There was another play in this game.
Yeah, he's been good this year for them. He's taking some steps.
Look at that. Cuffing it. Ooh. Got him.
Way above the rim.
Wow. Yeah, he was a bit of a project, but he there definitely has a lot of talent.
There it is. Talk to me. Got it. Boom. Assist.
That's
that was
beautiful.
The play that mattered.
Yep.
Love this guy.
Next, miss. Bunnies. And then makes a mess out of the uncontested dunk here. Ramona, ever seen an air ball on the dunk?
I mean, only when it's me doing it. Wow.
That's embarrassing. The way he went to the hoop, it looks like when you can't palm a ball. And
Yeah.
Remember that?
You're trying to dunk it and you can't palm it, so you do
Here's some of them. There's some more here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are different.
From the dunk, right. from the rim, or the ball slips out of your hands.
Right.
Ooh, got a little of both there. But look at this. Like, why don't you just grab and bang it? He's got to do all that. Weird. Very weird.
Next, make. Soprano. Bucks Heat. Goran Dragic gets in on the block, turns and delivers a knee in the groin of George Hill. Then the next trip down, watch Giannis. He shoves Goran to the ground. Take that. Clinton, you think that Giannis was having Hill's back there?
Yes,
what do you think?
He's got the best body control in the league. There's no way he runs into the one person in the key on a fast break and doesn't know what he's doing. He did help him up, though. That was key. But I didn't think Dragic's knee was that bad. I thought that was...
No, it was like a Dirk Nowitzki-esque type knee thing.
That was the course of play for me.
Yeah. It wasn't Draymond on Steven Adams.
No.
It wasn't that. It was definitely more inadvertent.
Yeah, that was more like I was trying to create some space to get the shot off.
And right.
I mean, then Dragic did kind of stop right in front of Giannis, too. Yeah.
Miss reasoning. Blazers Magic. CJ was called for an offensive foul on this play. He didn't like it. Ref goes to tee him up. And Mara Hezonja grabs the ref's arm to try to prevent it. Bad move there. Clinton, you like the effort from Mario?
I do, and this might not sound like the best take in the world, but there is room for me to touch a referee in the league.
No.
I don't need every ref acting like they just got shot every single time somebody gets a hand on them. Like, to me, there is something to be said for personability, and I realize this might not be the situation, but look, putting a hand on somebody, you know, in the context of that is not the same thing. We saw it in the WNBA as well. He didn't punch him. He didn't do anything like that. It's, to me, it's not that big of a deal.
It shouldn't be, but you can't touch a ref. Sorry.
Right.
It's just a blanket statement.
Yeah,
this is the way that rolls in the league.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ramona, but I have seen it. If you put him on the shoulder, I think it just feels different.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah. That's
Make cool. energy. Rockets Knicks opening tip. Harden somehow wins it. He's hyped. And then at the end of the game, we have Russ with a nasty coast to coast jam here. Ramona, who was more proud of themselves here, Harden or Russ?
Harden.
Yeah,
it's got to be Harden. Russ does this three times a night now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's old hat.
I was going to say, if you challenge Russ from the crowd, you might get this out of him.
Plus, by the way, they didn't win this game, so it's got to be hard winning that tip because he probably hasn't. I mean, this is like something he probably did in high school more often than in the NBA. But life with the new centerless Rockets.
Yeah, I think he mentioned to somebody before the game that he hadn't done it. I mean, he couldn't remember the last time.
Artesia High.
Yeah, probably.
Do you get extra? I mean, do you get, like, is there some sort of roster bonus for winning tip-offs?
Maybe.
Not normally the one taking it.
Anyway, the Knicks won that game last night and led by 27 points from the rookie, R.J. Barrett, which tied a career high for him. But that's not the story today at all, okay? A video of the Knicks security guard there arguing with superfan Spike Lee surfaced as the game was going on last night. While Spike was seen at the game, it was this that had the fans buzzing.
But no one told me. I'm staying here. Now, you want to arrest me like Charles Oldham, you fucking head. Or will you arrest me like you want to shut my hand on my back like holy?
Shout out to Bro Talk Live Pod there with the camera angle there. But anyway, that's not all. Spike went on First Take today to clarify his side of the story. Let's take a look.
I've been using the same entrance for 28 plus years. The employee's entrance on 33rd Street. Yesterday, last night, I go in, my ticket gets scanned. I'm in. You know the elevator.
Yes.
I go in the elevator, and also people having their ticket scanned also. And elevator's not moving. And the security guy comes to me and says, we need you to get off the elevator. I said, for what? So we could speak about it now. I said, I'm not getting out of the elevator. So another 5 minutes, then they finally send the elevator up because they know I'm not getting out the elevator. Get on the elevator. As you know, people don't know, the garden floor is on the fifth floor. Elevator go up to five, and security's waiting for me like I just ran out of Macy's stealing something. And they said, you, this guy, security guy, they're all, this comes from the top. He says, Mr. Lee, you have to leave Madison Square Garden. They wanted me to leave the garden, walk outside, out to 33rd Street, employee, which is where I came from, walk outside, and come back on 31st Street. Hmm. And I said, I'm not doing that. First of all, you scan my ticket. You can't scan a ticket twice. Also, I know that once you leave a sporting arena event, you can't come back in. So I don't trust these guys, so I'm not going for the okey-doke. I'm being harassed.
The fact that they wanted to leave the garden.
Hold it, Max. You just said you're being harassed?
Yes.
Are you going back to a Knicks game this year?
Not this year.
Are you concerned?
No. I'm coming back next year, but I'm done for the season. I'm done.
So Knicks PR responded to that today on Twitter. Quote, the idea that Spike Lee is a victim because we have repeatedly asked him to not use our employee entrance and instead use a dedicated VIP entrance, which is used by every other celebrity who enters the garden, is laughable. It's disappointing that Spike would create this false controversy to perpetuate drama. He is welcome to come to the garden anytime via the VIP or general entrance, just not through our employee entrance, which is what he and Jim agreed to last night when they shook hands. So, Ramona, what's your reaction to all of this?
Yeah, exactly. That's the reaction.
I've seen that seven times already today, and every time I see it, I get upset. I'm just like, you just beat the Rockets. That was a good win. That was Leon Rose's first game as the new president of the Knicks, and this is what we're talking about. Like, I don't care if you told him 25 times, go through the VIP entrance. This is Spike Lee. Okay? You don't mess with Spike Lee.
Some people
like
deserve
you can't treatment. You can't do this to Spike Lee. He's not trying to go out and look for controversy. He's not trying to go on wake up in the morning and go hang out with Stephen A. He can call Stephen A if he wants to hang out. Like he's mad enough with the statement that you put out last night and the way it represented whatever went down that he got up and went down to the studio and went on First Take today. Okay? Stephen A. didn't have to make him do that.
Right.
He wanted to do that and clear his name. Now you put out another statement calling what he did laughable. Look, even if you have told him a few times, even if you've said to Spike Lee, hey, we really need you to, whatever you got to do to avoid that is what you need to do. Okay? I don't care whatever Steve Stout says or Leon Rose does or Jim Dole. Nothing changed. That is the headline today. And this is perpetuating the appearance of your franchise that it is embarrassing. And I'm like, I'm mad just watching this.
Right. And that it perpetuates the dysfunction.
Whatever you got to do to avoid that.
It is the dysfunction. Oh. I mean, and that's what it comes down to. It doesn't matter what the principle of it is. It is ineffective. If we're out here talking about how First Take is once again the therapy couch for the New York Knicks, you're doing it wrong. Right. I don't care who's right. I don't care who's wrong. This just does not look good from an NBA standpoint overall. What are we talking about here? You got Spike Lee Chalk talking to different entrances to the Madison Square Garden. What's going on inside and out? Nobody cares about that.
Like Paul Blart Mall Club hop out there.
It's
messing with Spike Lee. Even if the Knicks are right, they're wrong.
Right.
Because this is the result.
I totally agree.
Right. You just, if you had an issue with this, and it was an issue that, according to them, has been a repeated issue, how about you just deal with it in the offseason?
Yeah.
And just say, hey, Spike, this season moving forward,
do
this. That way you avoid this that happened yesterday.
That's so embarrassing. And you know what? Let me tell you, this is one thing I'll give Leon Rose a lot of credit for, and I think he'll, when he has some time with this.
Here we go.
Hey, the Nets trolling them
trolling.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's the next worst situation.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a handshake. Yeah. Look, even if, Leon Rose just got there.
Right. Okay?
Yesterday was his first day.
Welcome to the Knicks, Leon.
Hey.
He thought it was a first good debut.
Yeah.
he's really good at handling things behind the scenes. Like, I've noticed the way he handles things, at least through the media.
Right.
I think that he keeps quiet.
Yeah.
He's not out there.
He's
loud.
Reserved.
He's reserved.
Yeah.
He hasn't had his crack at this particular situation. And I want to see how much power they give him to handle things like this now that he's in this role.
Here's what the Knicks need to realize, and this is it. You don't get the benefit of the doubt.
You don't.
End of story.
Right.
There is a Twitter handle that was just created that says, have the Knicks put out a statement today? It tweets one thing. Yeah. Yes or no. Yeah. That's a problem.
Yes. The answer is yes. So there you have it.
Listen, to quote Spike, they got to do the right thing here. Okay? Make things
see
right.
What you did there.
I know. I was waiting all segment for it. Do the right thing.
Nailed
Make
it.
Make things right with Spike Lee. Come on.
All right. Coming up, Brett Brown says he believes Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid will win a title together. Is that BS or real talk? The game that's sweeping the nation is up next here on The Jump. Our NBA Wednesday doubleheader tips off in Milwaukee with Giannis and the Bucks hosting the Pacers at 7 Eastern. Then Zion and the Pelicans take on Luka and the Mavs. Circle that one for sure.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano in for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols, alongside Ramona Shelburne and Clinton Yates. It's now time to play one of America's favorite games here on The Jump.
The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap.
It's time for BS or Real Talk, where we give you quotes. And then we give you emojis. First up, Brett Brown, who told reporters yesterday after practice he strongly believes Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are destined for an NBA championship. Here's the quote. I personally am convinced those two are going to win a championship at some point in their career, and they for sure can coexist. The myth is that they can't. I think that's so abused and not articulated the way I see it. So, is Brett Brown saying that Embiid and Simmons can win a title together? BS or real talk? Ready? Go.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely saying that.
He better believe that.
Right.
He's coaching them. I mean, he better believe it. They're expected to win, right?
Yeah.
That's what those expectations are. And look, Brett has two choices, okay? These are the guys that he's coached all the way through. He's the only coach they've ever had in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's brought these two guys along to this point. The championship expectations are there. That is what the whole process was for, is to get to this stage with two players of this caliber. So either he has to go all in and say, I'm riding with my guys, and if we win together. If we lose, when one of us is probably gone, one or two of us, who knows?
Yeah.
Or he can start undermining one of them and trying to get him traded, right? If he thinks that they really can't coexist. He's obviously decided, I'm going with my guys. Okay. And I think that's reputable.
With Simmons hurt, I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but the question is Philly, where he's talking about this actually going down? I mean, look, he does have to believe this, though, and I believe it, too. They're as good of a duo in the NBA as any other young pairing. Why wouldn't they be able to figure out? Simmons is still a guy that's learning his game. He's not the player he's going to be at the end of his career that he is right now.
I agree, like both of you, with Brett. My only question is, and I like Brett a lot, I think Brett's a good coach, but is Brett going to be around to see that come to fruition? And that, to me, is the big question.
Yeah, I think that's the question this year answers, right? I think the expectations with the signings that they've made with Al Horford, right, and Tobias Harris, the money they've given out to those four guys.
It hasn't worked out.
Al
Horford's
so
situation hasn't worked out.
Yeah, no, it hasn't worked so far. So is the question, is it the surrounding pieces around Embiid and Simmons, or is it Embiid or Simmons, or is it Brett Brown?
Yeah.
This year, I think, tells the tale.
The truth usually lies somewhere in the middle,
somewhere.
Right?
Like, that's
generally
the truth lies with whoever's making the final call.
There's that, too. All right, next up, Jeannie Buss had this to say about why Dwight Howard left the Lakers the first time around. She said, quote, I understand why he left, because we hired a coach that didn't respect his game and wasn't going to put him in a position to succeed. Is Jeannie Buss on Dwight's first Lakers tenure BS or real talk? Ready? Go.
Ooh. What?
Yeah, go ahead. You go first. I'll tell you why it's BS.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay, first of all, I've heard her say this several times before, just not publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that she said this at this Lakers all-access event is amazing. Let's break this down. The coach they hired was Mike D'Antoni,
right,
who coaches the Houston Rockets now and might be a Lakers opponent in the second round.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Secondly, the coach they didn't hire was Phil Jackson, who Jeannie Buss was engaged to at the time.
Correct.
Okay. Whoa. Let's revisit. And the person making the decision to hire Mike D'Antoni over Phil Jackson was her brother, Jim Buss.
Right.
Who is now no longer with the organization because she fired him.
Correct.
There is so much to that quote.
Which is what adds this all up to BS.
Right. Come on now.
This is what I'm saying. Dean Tony since won a Coach of the Year award. Why are you doing this at this point? I don't. I mean, I get it. It's honest. It might be
That's
true.
Honest.
She might believe it.
What is the point?
Believes it.
I don't understand why at this stage of this season with this squad and this scenario, this needs to come out at all. This looks.
She's got his back.
This is unbecoming, in my opinion, of what the Lakers are about, taking these kind of shots at a guy at this stage.
Now, look, Jeannie clearly believes it. I don't think there's any doubt. Yeah. And, of course, she should take up for Dwight. So, that aside, Mike D'Antoni also thought he was getting a Dwight Howard who was as dominant a pick-and-roll player as there was.
Right. Yeah.
And he was bringing in Steve Nash to run it with him. And then Dwight's like, nah, I want to post up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not all on Mike D'Antoni that Dwight didn't want to do what he was brought in to do. Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, Jeannie may be right that it may be ultimately up to the coach to put them in the best position, but Dwight wasn't cooperating with what Mike had envisioned for that team to do.
That's 100% true.
Yeah.
Because they ran the numbers. Like, I remember speaking to Jim Buss on this at the time, and they ran the numbers of, like, what Dwight could do in a pick and roll with
Nash.
And they said it, and they even ran it with what they did in the pick and roll in the opportunities where he did run it, and it was like off the charts good. It was like better than Nash and Amari Stoudemire.
Right.
And they would present that to Dwight, and he was like, no, I want to post up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I think some of that was that.
Shaq.
Yeah. He worked with Olajuwon.
Yeah.
He was at that stage of his career. Plus, the NBA was a different NBA.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, when Mike D'Antoni came in and looked at Pau Gasol and Dwight Howard, wow, I feel like I'm going back in time.
No, right I know.
But he
it
looked
is
at
a
them,
time machine.
And he looked at them and he said, nope, the post player is the least efficient play in the game.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's proven right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that was a different NBA back then.
Yeah, so when I say BS, it's not that I'm saying Jeannie is full of BS. I'm just saying that the facts there, it's like revisionist history. It doesn't put any of the onus on Dwight.
Oh, I don't think there's any revising. I think she's felt that the entire time.
I'm saying in retrospect of how it actually was supposed to play out as opposed to what she believes. You know what I mean? Like, she believes it, and she's right to believe that, but... So Mike D'Antoni also thought he was getting something different, too.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
They should have hired Phil Jackson then.
100%.
Like, you have two of the best post players in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Okay? You have two of the best post players in the history of the game.
Yeah.
The game was being played in that fashion at that point.
Yeah.
So you hire a coach to fit your skill set.
Right.
Not hire a coach who says, no, actually, we're going to change the way basketball is played.
Right. All right, let's move on. Last up, Lloyd Pierce didn't love his team's effort last night in a blowout loss at home to the Grizzlies. Here's Pierce after the game. Take a listen.
I got nothing for you guys. You can ask away. I got nothing for you.
Is there a teachable moment here at all?
I don't know what to teach. You can't teach effort. You can talk about it. You know, effort is effort. Yep.
All right, then. BS or real talk? Go. Real talk.
Real talk. Ooh. Not only is that a broken man and a broken team, that is a broken media core. Do you see how they... respected the complete lack of questions? The guy got up there and they just stared at him. Oh, that's tough. I mean, the Hawks are terrible. Grizzlies started that game 0-11 and they still got blown out by 40 points, the Hawks did. Like, that to me, I think he's right. You can't, what are you supposed to do about that if you're the coach? It's the NBA, you know, the guys connecting with guys is half the issue. We saw what happened with Beilein in Cleveland. And if he doesn't feel that he's connecting with them, what is he going to say? That was a remarkable piece of tape on a lot of levels.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for him because, like, the Hawks to me are one of the most disappointing teams in the NBA this year. They were poised to make that jump. They were like everybody's, like, sleeper pick to sneak into the playoffs this year, and it has not happened. And I think Lloyd feels terrible about it. It's, you know, I think he had done a really nice job with them before this, and it's inexplicable how bad they've been this year. I know they went out and made a trade just to try to even get better. Now Capella's not there, right? But he's injured. But they're not trying to lose.
Right.
Like, they're not trying to tank.
Nah.
They've made moves over the course of the last 2 years where if they wanted to tank, they could have tanked. But they believe in creating a winning culture and trying to continue developing, and they have not done that.
All right, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Kirk Goldsberry has a piece on ESPN.com and the ESPN app that breaks down the problems behind Trae Young's signature play, despite putting up eye-popping numbers. So make sure you check it out here during the break.
Brad Beal's going to retweet that.
Never mind Trevor Ariza.
Watch SportsCenter at 6 Eastern after PTI with Hannah Storm and Kevin Negandhi. A-Rod details the Yankees World Series roadblocks. It's SportsCenter on ESPN and the ESPN app. Patrick Beverley is the heart and soul of the Clippers. Don't take my word for it. Listen to this. The Clippers are 34-10 when Beverley plays this season compared to 7-9 when he doesn't. In order to fully understand Pat Bev's gritty playing style and mentality on the court, you need to first understand his upbringing. Here's a look at his upbringing in Chicago, as told by Beverley himself.
I just try to lead y'all to the right path. Y'all don't even understand. Innocent bystanders every day, man, is getting shot. Just the West Side. Your black can't go to every party. Because as soon as somebody see Patrick Beverley, he's going to be trying to fight you. Patrick, you're a role model, man. You got a big chance, man, to go do something.
In 2006, Marshall High School, on the west side of Chicago, had a reputation for violence.
I did not want Patrick to go to Marshall. Pat pleaded that he would never know if he could get a chance to make it pro if I kept him in the suburbs, because no one would ever see him.
I think we were ranked, what, the top five worst high school at the some wild s***. But we had a really good basketball team.
Arthur Agee starred the 1994 documentary Hoop Dreams, filmed Beverley's senior season at Marshall for the 2007 sequel, Hoop Reality.
I thought it was dope. When you go back and look at it, the documents, the things I say and the morals and codes I used to have, like I still have those. Me about the kill, kill, kill on the basketball court and murder, death, kill, and see red, and see red is kind of the same passion I play with now.
Quit playing with these folks out here. You better stop, get to that basket.
Patrick was averaging close to 30 points a game. I'm sitting in the crowd. They said if he scores more than 40, we're going to hurt him. And this is the gang members in the crowd.
Despite danger lurking in the stands, Patrick went on to lead the state in scoring with 37 points per game and earned a scholarship to Arkansas. He thought college would be his ticket out of Chicago.
Beverley lines up a three. He's got it.
But in August 2008, Patrick was suspended for turning in a paper that wasn't his.
Hopefully, I have an opportunity to go to the NBA. I'm not really good at nothing else, so, I mean, just what else can I do? I don't have anything else.
When you're in a situation where you don't know how strong you have to be until your strength is tested, you wouldn't know you can do anything.
With a new baby to feed, he returned home to Chicago and began selling drugs.
We sold this weed and, you know, a couple crackheads around the area. So we sold drywall, too. That's like the fake version of cocaine.
When I hear him say that he was good at selling drugs, it's scary. You know, all I see is death or jail. I haven't met any old drug dealers.
A couple months went by, I think I had like 9,000 in there. But, you know, the pastor, my cousin, kind of shifted a lot of things.
A month after returning to the West Side, Beverley went out to hustle, bringing along his cousin, Donovan Poo Poo Morris.
I'm shooting dice, and I'm about to head back. I'm like, Poo Poo, yo, you come with me? He's like, nah, I'm chill out here. I'm good, cool. All right, like, you know, didn't think of anything. 5-6 minutes into the drive, I get a call. Somebody just killed your cousin. I'm like, what?
He got caught in the middle of a shootout. We came over here and the ambulance told us to come to the hospital.
Donovan was pronounced dead by the time his family arrived. Patrick was asked to identify the body.
Broke open his rib cage, got a bunch of towels on him. See the bullet when it went through his face. Kissed him on his forehead. Apologize. Walk out. I had nightmares for like 2 months straight. Couldn't sleep. And I felt like it was my fault because I brought him over there a lot, you know, and was living with that. That was an incident that changed my life.
2 days after Donovan's death, Patrick received an offer to play in the Ukraine. He spent 4 seasons overseas, also playing in Greece and Russia. Then in 2013,
the Houston Rockets offered him a chance to play in the NBA, but it required him to buy out his Russian contract with his own money. He took the gamble.
I think I came back to the States, I think I had $7,000 to my name. Bet it on myself, man, and I didn't roll a seven either. I rolled a nine, and I kept shooting until I got a nine back.
Beverly, corner three, puts it in.
Again, Beverly got a piece of it.
Another one, Patrick Beverly, big shots at clutch time.
Beverly has become one of the elite defenders in the NBA, earning a three-year, $40 million contract with the Clippers in 2019. But he still plays hungry, angry, and like someone who still has something to prove.
Every obstacle, every injury, every hurt was preparing him for this moment. I feel his pain. I know his sacrifice. And to see him on top is a wonderful feeling.
Thanks to Patrick Beverly, our guy Om Young Masuk, who was voicing that, and our friends over at NBA Countdown for that great feature. Coming up, who would be a better fit for the Lakers as we go across town now? Dion Waiters or J.R. Smith? We'll speculate on the Lakers in just a moment. But first, it's time for our second distant replay of the day. This one from this date in 2002, featuring Michael Finley.
Finley off the dribble.
Oh!
I remember that. Oh, baby!
A late pump dunk. That was a Finley. That was vintage Finley. Wait for it. Yeah.
You want to tell me why he doesn't do that more often? I keep harping about him going.
Juwan Howard trailing the play. Shout out to Juwan.
The Jump is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day.
Not moving that left wrist right now.
Obviously, this puts us in a tough spot.
Been a long 3.5+ months of trying to get back to where we're supposed to be. I'm excited to get out there and play.
Curry for three. Whoa! Unbelievable! Oh, Steph is feeling it. Steph for three. Quick some magic. Oh, he puts it in.
Most people when they were watching wouldn't have guessed this.
Our Saturday primetime game on ABC is Sixers versus Warriors. The Jump is your pregame show live from the Chase Center at 8 Eastern. Hopefully, Steph Curry returns.
Hopefully.
It's crunch time here on The Jump. We don't know when exactly Steph is coming back, but we know it's soon. Ramona, what should Steph try to accomplish the rest of the year?
I think he's just needing to set the tone for the guys on this team to say, this is how we play. Okay. Whoever wants to still be here next year, this is how we play. And there's nobody better to do that than Steph Curry.
I mean, it's stay out of the last place spot. You know, you've got the same chances to get the number one pick if you're in the bottom three. And yeah. I think from a pride standpoint, if the Warriors are not the worst team in the league, Steph Curry will have accomplished.
Shake off the rust, baby. That's what this is all about. Shake off the rust for sure.
Get ready for the Olympics.
That too. Next, Kemba Walker is expected back tonight. Ramona, how much will getting their floor general help the Seas?
Well, it helps because Jason Tatum's also out tonight, likely. They've been pretty good with Jason Tatum in that role. But if he's not out there, then they need Kemba. So that's good for them.
Yeah, helps a ton. Guy's an all-star. I mean, what team would not want a Kemba Walker coming back? I don't know who they are.
Right.
Certainly not the Celtics.
I do like him fitting in as potentially the second or third guy, though, on this roster, the way Jason Tatum clearly is taking a leap and the way Jaylen Brown is playing, too. So I just think they're as dangerous a team as there is in the Eastern Conference when they're healthy. So. Next, this date in 1993, Manute Bol took a blowtorch to the Phoenix Suns. He had 6 threes in the first half alone. Clinton, why didn't the Suns step out on old
Manute? What you gonna do? Stick a hand in his face? You gonna get behind the back with that form? Look at that. You're no way you're stopping
you
that
go
delivery.
Low or something.
Love Manute. Yeah. He's actually a friend, you know, family member of a friend of mine. Oh, man.
Look how he puts the ball behind his head.
Think a warrior for life.
Boom. Right there. Nothing but net on that one, too.
Ooh, that's set a shot.
Devin Booker shot right there.
There you go. All right. The Lakers still have an open roster spot, and it looks like it could come down to Dion Waiters or J.R. Smith. The Lakers worked out both Waiters, as we discussed yesterday, and J.R. on Monday, according to the L.A. Times. LeBron obviously has a relationship with J.R. from the Cavs, but J.R. hasn't played in the NBA in over a year. He also played with Deion very briefly in Cleveland. Let's not forget that part of it, too. But, Clint, who's a better fit for the Lakers, JR or Deion?
We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I think that I don't want to just go anti-Deion Waiters here, but I'm going to. I just think that you don't put him in that locker room in this situation. I think with J.R. Smith, he's been out of the league for a while, but who's going to motivate him better than LeBron in the situation, you know, coming into that scenario? I like J.R. Smith's game as far as, you know, what he can provide. I just don't trust Waiters with the –
Look, they had 30 minutes to sit with Deion Waiters yesterday. Frank Vogel, Rob Pelinka, Kurt Rambis, everybody in that room sat there for 30 minutes with Deion Waiters afterwards and asked him, what are you going to do if you don't play? What's your motivation for being here? Where is your head at? And they had 30 minutes to talk it through. And it reminds me a lot of what they did with Dwight Howard, which is essentially he had to make good on that contract, right? He had to make good with them. If he had a very, very, very short runway there. And if there was any slip up, Dwight was going to be gone. It's the same thing for Deion Waiters here. Like if they decide to go in this direction, and I think Deion Waiters is a better fit. I just saw him almost single-handedly beat the Clippers in this game. Okay. He had been exiled on Waiters Island and they put him in there because the Heat had some injuries. He almost beat the Clippers himself. He's been playing in the NBA. He's not quite in the same kind of shape as he would be if he would be playing every night. But Deion Waiters is exactly what the Lakers need in that he's a guy who can create his own shot and is not dependent on LeBron James to get him a bucket. And that is what you need when you get into the playoffs. So whatever was said in that 30 minutes when he met with the Lakers brass is going to determine whether Deion Waiters is the guy. If he's not the guy, then I think they go J.R. Smith. Right. Just because LeBron knows him, everybody's comfortable with his skill set. But I think Deion's ahead of J.R. in terms of ability and what they need.
Well, and to your point, he's played more recently. He's also younger than J.R. Smith.
Definitely.
And he defends, right? Yeah. Like, J.R. was a good defender when he was in Cleveland. But he hasn't played in, what, over a year? So I think that there's a lot of rust there for J.R. And I understand.
Something I heard about his workout.
Okay.
Apparently, as soon as J.R. Smith started shooting, he hit like 23 in a row.
Right. Well, that is never going to leave him. I don't think. But I'm talking about.
He can still play.
But there's one thing about shooting in an empty gym or even working out one-on-one with somebody or a couple of guys and actually playing in an NBA game. And look, the reality is this particular spot is break glass in case of emergency. Okay. Because they have a deep rotation as it is. Yeah. They're not going for a 12-man rotation, but this person will be needed if they get into foul trouble in the playoffs, maybe to help load manage some guys down the stretch, and then, you know, if somebody gets hurt some point.
Here's what I think is important, though, is that they need to make this decision. I understand waiting until March 2nd because you want to see who gets bought out.
Right.
But you have the roster spot. If you get somebody in there, that you need to have some time to see if it's going to work.
Sure.
Right? And so you have Deion or you have JR, whoever it is. Yeah. If it doesn't work out, you can cut them and sign the next one.
Sure.
You can still sign people.
This player's not going to be the difference between whether or not.
Right. But they need to do this sooner rather than later. There's no upside to waiting anymore.
Yeah. No, you got to make a move at some point. And it gives you a nice runway, as you pointed out. All right. This just in at the buzzer. The Nets announced that Kyrie Irving underwent season-ending surgery on his right shoulder Tuesday. Clinton, should Brooklyn fans be cool with sacrificing this season for next when KD and Kyrie are, in theory, at full strength?
I think so. You got to turn over, what, 7 more guys, according to Kyrie and what he said earlier in the season?
Man.
No, I mean, I'm messing around. But, yeah, at this point, I believe the season is lost. I mean, we know what they got to do in order to get things
back. Have they been that much better with Kyrie this year?
Not really. I mean, right now they're the sacrificial lamb, right, against Milwaukee?
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
Point. Yeah, I don't know if it matters all that much right now. Like, right. I mean, with Kyrie, if they want to win something big, but why not just go for the playoff spot?
Yeah, no, I think they do. They definitely want the playoff
spot. They don't have their pick.
I don't think Nets fans are thinking that that's going to go that far.
No, you're right. You're right. Again, it's just the sacrificial lamb situation. But, anyway. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks to Ramona. Thanks to Clinton for joining me.
This time we're going to make
it. The Jump and Rachel are going to be back tomorrow, 3 Eastern, on ESPN2.
Oh,
you guys
have
a great afternoon.
Better than mine.
See ya. I knew next. It's the